Chicky chicky boom boom, chicky chicky boom boom. Here comes the path pod. I do not know what happened, but something weird happened with our lead-in music and it is not working. So guess what? Chicky chicky boom boom, chicky chicky boom boom. This is my famous song to lead into positive approaches to health. Chicky cheeky boom boom.
Well, I know we always say it, but this has been a long time coming. My little friend, Jen Gebhardt, is on the show with us today. And I say my little friend because she's tiny but mighty. So I'm just so excited to be able to introduce the world, our community to Jen Gebhardt. She is just an amazing friend and soul and just an all-around beautiful person. And I'm so excited that she's here today, especially because she's our part two of this two-part series on really just being able to deal with our nervous system in a positive way, in a way that makes us feel good and makes sense for us. And so our part one was Dr. Kelly Kessler. So if you guys haven't listen to that one, I would encourage you to do so. And this is our part two that really focuses in more on the vagus nerve and urban zen and all the things that Jen is going to tell us about today. But and we'll talk about nervous system regulation and what that really means with Jen as well. So I'm super excited that we have Jen here on the pod. And so Tony, would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about Miss Jen G?
Gen G, there's already been a lot of gens in my life, and now I've got another gen to put in the
I
mix.
know.
Like, amazing. But, Jenny, you could tell how excited you were to talk about Jen because we didn't even do our welcome, Path Pod listeners. Welcome to Positive Approach.
Nope, I didn't. Man, I just went right in with Jen.
And that makes sense. It 100% makes sense. So, of course, it's implied. Every time you get on the show, you are welcome, Path Pod listeners. This leg of the
Absolutely.
road trip is to Jenny's hometown. We're over there in Columbus.
Yeah, we are in CBUS today. Sorry, guys, I did get ahead of myself. So welcome to PATH, Positive Approaches to Health.
Well, I just think that I was just drinking that in, Jenny, because it speaks to the excitement and enthusiasm and passion for this person and this episode and this series, which was your idea. I am so stoked that you brought it up. I'm so stoked we put these two people together. And truth be told, I have been using stuff from both Kelly and Gen G constantly since these have started. So I do feel for our listeners, I'm going to do the bio in a quick second, but for our listeners, this is just one of those practical 1-2 punches that's so powerful.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll just mention before you do her bio, I have had the benefit of working alongside Jen for the last few years since before COVID and have just learned so much from her and gained so much from just being in her world. So, yeah, anyway.
It's awesome. It's awesome. So all that will unfold here shortly, but let me do a quick bio, do some due diligence, and give you some background on our friend Jen. Jen Gebhardt is a highly motivated professional with an unparalleled passion for supporting health and well-being. She is personable, compassionate, curious, diplomatic, tactful, and thrives when faced with new challenges and opportunities to learn. I love that starter paragraph.
And it's so her. So her.
Oh, okay. Jen is a master facilitator for everyday mindfulness and movements in the Columbus City Schools, offering well-being and self-care and education for staff and administrators. Jen has also shared Urban Zen at the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center and James Cancer Hospital, working with patients, staff, and caregivers, and Ohio Health corporate wellness programs. She is also an E-RYT 500 YACEP, and Jenny knows what that's all about. And she's been teaching yogurt.
Yogurt. She's
She's
been
been
teaching yogurt.
teaching, I must be hungry. She's been teaching yoga for 20 years and is passionate about making yoga accessible to all and has taught people with neurological disorders, cancer patients, and survivors in prenatal, postnatal. Ugh. She considers herself a lifelong learner and strives to keep up with the latest research and evidence-based practices to foster growth and the well-being of her clients. I mean, that last sentence, holy smokes, Jenny, that's probably why, A, you guys are such close friends, and B, why I felt like not only did I adore her, I felt like we were in the same lane for so many of the facets of, you know, care for our clients and passion for our work.
Absolutely. Yeah, she's just all those letters and numbers and things basically means she's a very experienced yoga practitioner, yoga teacher. Yeah, she's just amazing. And the work she does here in Columbus, I don't think she gets enough credit for. She's really a force to be reckoned with here. So lucky to, like I said, have her in my orbit.
And to have her on our show. So why don't we do a speed round through the GIVE acronym, because we want to get straight to the episode here, but we cannot bypass GIVE for a lot of reasons. So Jenny, why don't you start and we'll just go ding, 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 and then get right into the conversation.
Yeah. Well, my G, of course, is gratitude for the fact that Jen, you know, was willing to come on and show us, you know, her grace and graciousness. She was gracious with her time, her energy, her expertise, et cetera. The I, of course, innovate. I think what she does is very innovative. And I also have internal, because this is internal body work. I mean, it's, you know, externally done, but it's for the work that we all need to do internally. The V is for value. I mean, this is got so much value. And of course, Vagus, and not only the vagus nerve, but it makes me think about Vagus, the city, because Jen is also really fun. You just, you know, you probably didn't get that from our interview, but she's super fun to hang out with. So, and lastly, E for experiential, because it is very much an experiential practice. It's not, you know, it's definitely not the didactic stuff. It's experiential. So
God, I'm dying. The Vegas thing is something dorky I would do. So I'm just so glad you did it, because sometimes I'm like, God, she puts up with so much of my dorky stuff. That was the perfect dorky. Awesome.
I'm glad you liked it.
Because when you said Vegas right after Vagel, I was like, how am I in Vegas right now? And then you oh my God. All right. So mine, I'm just going to, because this was an overflow, as is the playlist. The playlist is coming up on 3 hours without even what you might have. So I'm just saying.
I have five.
Oh my gosh.
Which is a lot for me.
Right. So it's abundance in that way. So I'm going to try to be very judicious and go quickly through these, but hopefully they're all standalone. G, I've got guide, gentle, and gifted.
Oh, those are great.
I, insightful, individual, impressive, and inclusive.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a good one, Tony.
Oh,
yeah.
And inclusive is circled, Jenny, on my sheet, because I just went like, whoa, 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 you know?
Yep. Yeah, she very much teaches through that lens. Yeah, for sure.
So the only overlap you and I had was vagal, but under the V, I have vast, because I do feel her experience and her toolkit is so vast. And then a peek into the playlist, I also have the word versions. So stay tuned for what that means. Boop, on the backside.
Okay.
And for E, real quick, earnest.
Yep.
Endearing.
Yes.
Engaging. Absolutely. And the last one I feel speaks to her gifts, which is exercise, because I feel like it takes duality there, exercising and the exercises that she gives us to use. So I really had to stop there, because I was just, the floodgates were open with the GIVE letter. So that's what I got, Miss J.
Love it. Love it. Well, I think that's a good segue into our interview with Miss Jen Gebhardt.
Enjoy. We'll see you on the backside for some final thoughts and the playlist. Thank you.
Well, Miss Jen, I am so excited that you're finally here, because I feel like we've been talking about this for quite some time, having you come on the podcast and share with our community just your wealth of knowledge and your understanding of this topic of nervous system regulation. So I'm so, so glad you're here. But before we jump into all of that, I'm wondering if you can share your path with us. What brought you to become an Urban Zen integrative therapist, an instructor? But more importantly, what brought you to this really deep interest you have in the power of the vagus nerve and nervous system regulation?
So I'm delighted to be here, and thank you so much for inviting me on. I feel honored and delighted. I have been a yoga teacher for 20 years and have always been interested in the body. And I taught to a lot of people with different abilities. And I have a sense of curiosity, love of learning. And so I, right after teacher training, jumped in and started teaching the MS group that we had at Yoga and High. And basically, you know, brought things into them, would watch how things landed in their body, what worked, what wasn't working, and developed a really amazing community of support and a place where they could move and feel a sense of belonging. And then I started to work with other populations with differing abilities, traumatic brain injury, spinal cord injury, different neurological disorders, and have just seen over the years as I adapt practices to fit their bodies and how powerful the practices are at making them feel better, whether it's mood, emotionally, or being able to breathe a little easier, digest their food better, being able to have improved balance, and maybe even walking a little easier if they were mobile. And so with that sense of curiosity, just basically learning on my own, because there's not a lot of resources out there for making yoga accessible. And then the Urban Zen Integrative Therapy Program was developed. And as soon as I read about that program, I really wanted to take that program because I got into this work with a passion for helping people physically, mentally, and emotionally, and saw how Urban Zen could give me skills to work with other people that might not be able to move or might be ill or might not like yoga for whatever reason. And so making movement more accessible to people, allowing more people to tap into their body and to feel better in their daily life. I think that when we feel better, we can show up in the world the way we want and feel more engaged with others, as well as maybe the work that we want to do in the world, or connecting with friends and family and community. And so I went through that training and became a mentor for that training as well. And I got to do that work at Ohio State University Hospital, at all parts of the hospital. So I went through also into the James Hospital. And I told patients that I had a knack for helping them take a nap. So a knack for putting people to sleep, which if you've ever been in the hospital or you have a friend or loved one that's been in the hospital, you kind of know that getting good rest is not easy. And so that was actually a gift. They, you know, took that. But I saw how those small, gentle movements, simple breath awarenesses or simple breath practices, body-centered meditation, that also incorporated Reiki and aromatherapy, but how those practices were accessible and adaptable to what somebody was experiencing. So I worked with some people that had amputations or some people that could only move their hands or their feet. But seeing their pain levels drop, you know, I remember multiple patients that their pain levels will drop. You know, I had one patient that's coming to mind from 10 to zero. And actually a couple of patients, I even worked in detox rehab and patients dropping pain levels, even in the detox part of rehab, which is really challenging on the body. So just seeing how simple things can really impact how people feel in their body brought a lot of joy and a sense of purpose to what I was doing. And the polyvagal theory would kind of pop up intermittently through yoga and practices because yoga, the movement of yoga, the breath practices of yoga, meditation, all impact the vagus nerve. So that was already sort of there in the background. And polyvagal theories exploded like right after or around the pandemic, I think. Maybe because we were all feeling this immense level of stress and isolation, which is also part of nervous system regulation, is that we co-regulate. So we need each other to feel safe and connected. It is a human need to feel safe and connected.
And Jen, not to interrupt you, but
no, that's
around that time too, isn't that when The Body Keeps the Score came out, like right around that time too, I feel like, and that kind of,
I think his book actually, well,
was it earlier?
You know, but yeah, it might have been. I think his book was earlier. That was part of my yoga training. So yes,
okay.
That the fact that trauma is held in the body, we typically, I think, you know, think that the mind controls everything in our lives when it's actually our nervous system. And 80 to 90% of the information, according to Stephen Porges, who developed polyvagal theory, 80 to 90% of the information goes from our body to our brain. And so, you know, if you think of our nervous system controls all of our functions, it controls heart rate, respiration, digestion, movement. It even controls thinking. So it's actually our nervous system that is controlling our life. And whether you have little T trauma or big T trauma, we all have stress. Stress is an inevitable part of life. Stress is not a bad thing. It motivates us to move and, you know, take action in the world. But too much stress or the inability to kind of move up and down through, you know, stress and then relaxation wears on our body and can create inflammation and digestive issues, headaches, fatigue, all those lovely symptoms that are kind of part of our everyday living now.
Yeah, unfortunately, right? I mean, that's
right.
What we hear all the time. And I think from my understanding of it, which is much less than yours, you know, we originated, I guess, for lack of a better word, to be able to tap into fight or flight when needed, right? And then, you know, if we're out foraging for berries and all of a sudden we run into this, you know, big animal, we either fight it or we run back to our clan and we that running and then that connection, or that fighting and then that connection, is what brings us back into regulation. But our bodies weren't made for the constant amount of stressors that we all are impacted by on a daily basis, multiple times a day.
And even just looking at screens all day impacts our nervous system. So I like to give the analogy of, if you think about driving in the rain and you're looking straight ahead to keep you safe, which is great, it's a survival mechanism. And then when you go out into the woods or into nature, how you take in what you're seeing peripherally, how even me just saying that, you might feel that sense of relaxation, I can breathe. And so when we look at screens all day, our body's in that agitated, stressed out state. You know, we look at our computers, and then we look at our phones, and then we look at our TV. And even just a simple practice of, you know, gazing out a window or cupping your hands over your eyes for a few moments can relax the eyes and engage more muscles of the eyes, which then tells our body and brain we are safe.
I love that. I love that. It's funny because I was at work yesterday and I was just, you know, boom, boom, just all here, all screen, just getting stuff done. And I was like, I'm running to the post office because I try to, even though we have someone who picks up the mail, I try to walk to the post office at least once on the days that I work, because it's in Aptos, California. It's like this beautiful, wooded, beautiful beach town. It's like incredible. And I'm locked in this screen and I can feel myself sort of atrophy and eroding as I'm just staring, let alone what's going on inside my nervous system. And that 10-minute departure just kind of gives back and fuels and kind of calms. And I come back in like, all right, let's go. And, you know, I think of all the times we tell our clients to do that, you know, our patients, whomever, and it's just this incredible dose response that just is free. Like you said, even if you decide to turn your head and look at, out the window, it's there for you. And I think that's what I love so much about how you do what you do, Jen. And I only know you from Jenny and then following you on your Instagram account and getting to know you that way. But I feel like there's a couple things that I'd like to, can I go on, Miss Jen, to follow up here? Okay. You know, you're part of a two-parter. You know, we had this episode with Dr. Kelly Kessler where we started to introduce this idea of dysregulation and its relationship to chronic pain and all kinds of things. It was Jenny's idea to have you come to take it to that next level. And then, of course, talk about the vagus, you know, the vagal nerve and polyvagal theory and all of that. But I feel like probably a lot of people are like me, or maybe even no less than me, as a kind of a stand-in for the listener. I'm wondering if we could just get to the basics, sort of the nuts and bolts, and describe, you know, for our listeners, what nervous system regulation entails and why having a regulated system offers such profound effects. I feel like you've dipped into some of that top layer, but I think sort of just a primer would be really helpful.
Would you like me to guide you through just an easy practice?
Yes.
So the our brain takes up a lot of mapping space for our eyes, our hands, and our feet. So it likes to know where those parts of our body are to feel safe. And I'll guide us through something that sort of combines some proprioception for the hands and also a little bit of fascia release. And, you know, the muscles are surrounded by fascia, which then also the vagus nerve innervates through all of that and through the organs. And so it helps to relax the body. And so let's try this. So just take a moment, sit comfortably in your chair, or you can stand up if that feels better, and roll your shoulders up, back, and down. Notice which shoulder feels more relaxed, and you can start on that side. And you don't want to do anything that hurts or doesn't feel good. Just start to massage your hand. So if you have like a sock or a washcloth, you could take and rub the washcloth on your hand. If you don't have that for right now, you can just use your other hand. And notice the temperature of that hand that you're massaging or waking up. And you can also look at your hand. If you have neuropathy, that is helpful to actually look at the hand. And then you can come up the forearms, just kind of squeezing the muscles there gently. Doesn't need to be very firm. Feeling your arm in space and all the way up the arm to the shoulder. Maybe you notice some knots from tension. We tend to hold tension here. And then notice, you can just relax both arms to the sides and notice, does that arm feel any different than the other arm? And then we'll do the other side to create a little more feeling of evenness in the body. Notice the temperature of this hand. And so as we're doing this, I'll just give a little more information. So your nervous system is made up of other things other than just the vagus nerve, but I'll speak about the vagus nerve right now. So that is a nerve, your 10th cranial nerve that starts at the base of your brain and runs down, vagates through the muscles of your face, around your eyes, your jaw, down into your neck, and to down into the heart and lungs. And as you finish that arm, notice how it feels. And then you might roll your shoulders up, back, and down. Maybe they feel a little different, maybe not, and that's okay.
They feel better. And
really, do they feel better? Mm-hmm. And so the ventral part of the vagus nerve, like I said, vagates through the face, down the neck, into the heart and lungs. And that part of our vagus nerve is for connection. When that part of the vagus nerve is toned, we are engaged. And you can think about when you make eye contact with people or you smile. When we're infants, we look at our caregiver for survival, to connect, to, you know, let them know we need fed or just need that attention. And then the dorsal part of the vagus nerve vagates down through the diaphragm, down into the organs of the abdomen and through the gut area. So we have a lot of nerve endings down in there as well, which is why sometimes if we have high levels of stress, we might have digestive issues. Does that help a little bit, Tony? Do you think, clarify?
Yes, quite a bit. I feel like there's probably a lot of listeners who are going, what? You know, because that is such a powerful, well, experience, yes, but the imagery on top of it, I think people think nerves, they think, you know, the, you know, C4, C10, L1, you know, people think about the architecture, and that's, they should, you know, that's important. But to think of what's coming out of one that you just mentioned, was it C10 you said?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, the power of one, I guess that's sort of overwhelming right now in a really good way, because on some of the things you said when we first asked you about what brought you to where you are and what you do, you know, you were talking about small things, how little things can add up and make a difference. And I'm not saying any nerve is a little thing, not at all, but it sure is powerful. And to be able to harness, learn, and then harness and understand how to practice some of these things just has immense potential. And I guess I'm just really excited about it. And I'm sure our listeners are as well. So thank you for that.
Yeah. And I'm no expert, I'm no doctor. So, you know, you can always talk to your physician. There are somatic therapists. If you're feeling, you know, if you have mental health issues and you know you had trauma, you can go see a somatic therapist, because they're not only going to be able to talk you, offer talk therapy, but also work with you through the body in addressing where has that trauma been stored in the body, whether it was physical trauma. Even, you know, surgical traumas can cause, or surgery can cause trauma in the body. And let's do another practice that's simple that you might just intuitively do. Just take a breath in through your nose and then exhale with a sigh. And then we'll do that again. Take a breath in, maybe shrug your shoulders up towards your ears, and then exhale with a sigh, let them go. And notice how that feels.
That feels wonderful. That's what's so amazing about the movement practices that you offer, Jen, is they're very simple. And like you said, almost intuitive to, you know, to engage in. And we may do it and not even know we're doing it. But to be intentional about it, especially during those times that we're maybe transitioning from one thing to another, or we have a bunch of tasks back to back to back, and, you know, just giving some space in between those things can really be powerful in terms of being able to engage, you know, and focus. I have found these very, very useful in my own practice.
And Jenny, it's interesting to think about the intersection of our work in nutrition to what Jen is talking about here as well, because, you know, think about all the clients, patients we've worked with who may be struggling with some mindless or emotional eating that they want to get a handle on. And, you know, we often talk about how difficult transitions can be for people, or situations that incite some stress or, you know, nervousness. And it's like, well, here is a whole nother thing to be able to drop into the toolkit as an option, even if it is to plug in as, you know, physiological sigh, or a sigh, you know, the breath with the sigh that we just did, or even the experience of kind of touching your hand and doing the show. I mean, I'm sure there's a million different things you could do in the toolbox, but to have something to plug in there to address the intersection, I think is really important, because you mentioned connection earlier, Jen, and Jenny and I always talk about connection on this pod. It's always brought up in so many ways. And I feel like that just hit me like a ton of bricks, you know, how powerful the combination of so many of these tools and areas of practice and interest are for one another. I hope that makes sense.
Oh, it totally does.
And I love that you're bringing up the eating piece, or, you know, not saying this with any judgment at all, but we have experiences and that bring up situations and bring up stress. And so we might turn to scrolling on our phone or food or drug use to soothe our nervous system, to help us feel regulated and safe. And so building that awareness of, okay, that situation that I just did created stress, and now I need to go eat, or I need to go, you know, look at my phone to de-stress and regulate myself again. And not that I'm judging that in any way, because I'm guilty of it too. And it's just building that awareness, supporting yourself with some practices, and maybe, you know, seeing a therapist to help with that as well. And being able to maybe make a different choice the next time, or heal that part of you that needs healed.
Right.
We're both like, oh my God. I'm just thinking like those things are our default, right? Like we just automatically go to that. I mean, I think of my brother, God love him, who has probably smoked cigarettes since, I don't know, 12 years old. I mean, a long time. He's going to be 60 in September. So, you know, that's his default. And he's tried many, many times to quit, but that's his default. And he feels like that's taking away stress when it's, as we all know, actually adding to, right? So I think becoming aware of what our default is, and he's very aware of it. It would be hard to be a smoker and not be aware that you're smoking. But, you know, so there's a little part in there that's also like you want to change. You realize you need and want to change. But, you know, a lot of us default to things that we're not aware of. You know, we just kind of do it, you know, like the phone or the food or whatever. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I love that you mentioned that as a way, you know, awareness, and this comes on the pod, just like connection, Tony, awareness mm-hmm. probably is a through line on almost every single pod we do or every single episode we do. Awareness is key because you cannot change anything you're not aware of. Mm-hmm. Bottom line.
And Jen, I mean, the other thing, both Jens, I can just say Jen and come both of you. I think the other thing is, and your example of your brother is a great one, because that is essentially a chronic thing, right? Because it's been going on for almost 50 years, right?
Sure.
Then there's those things that pop up that you're just like, well, where did that come from? You know, like that, well, first of all, who am I doing this? And I can give a personal example, oh my goodness, of even just the last 3 months with all my dad's health issues. I was showing up, the way it was showing up for me was spending, right? Mm. I'm finding my, and I shrouded it, guys. This is how clever I got, you know, because I can be crafty. I started off as this nervousness was getting rid of things. I needed to purge. So I was getting rid of clothes and, you know, clearing out, you know, some of my closets and stuff. And I found this app where I could sell stuff, which felt good because I was in the process and having fun. Some of my kind of, you know, stuff I'd spent more money on that was harder to let go of or whatever. And then the next thing I knew, okay, so I'm clearing out the closet. I'm getting some money, which is bonus, icing on the cake. But then I started to buy for what reason? No one knows. There's not a space in this house for one more piece of clothing. Shoving stuff in, and it was how this nervousness and this dysregulation was manifesting. And I'm like, what in the world? And it took me weeks and weeks to realize, and many packages sitting at the door, and me handing these things like to my daughter and to whomever, it had gotten out of control. And thank goodness we're in a position that we can afford this. It's not that big of a deal. But if I hadn't stepped out of myself to see it, you know, that was just one particular way. So all that to say that that was not me 4 months ago, right? That was a brand new thing that showed up in a way I would never expect. And I think as humans, the more we can invest in being aware and confronting and being gentle with ourselves when we notice it, like I was not happy with myself that this is how it showed up. But it took a similar level of coaching as every other behavior I've tried to work on, and give myself grace that this has been a shitty 3 to 4 months. And unfortunately, this is how it showed up. I can work on it, fix it. I mean, maybe that's TMI, but I feel like it shows how these things are insidious sometimes, and they seem harmless and innocent enough, but it's a symptom.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's like, yeah, like loving yourself through that, acknowledging it, and it, you know, maybe not in that this situation, but it keeps us alive. You know, it's survival. So it's not, it's a reaction of survival. And maybe that's another way that people can hear it, that it's less judgment, because I'm guessing if we just put more judgment on it, then we might likely do it more or do something else because we're just judging ourselves. And, you know, that isn't supportive or helpful. But yeah, acknowledging sounds like you really acknowledge.
I did.
I'm needing some care here.
Well, and what I realized too, which is another intersection with a previous episode we had about stress, the stress cycle, the Nagowski sisters, is that there was a need for something flow. I needed something that was flow. And I got up a minute ago. I don't know if you guys noticed, but I was looking for something. And it's these little funny things. I make these keychains that I haven't made in a long time. And they're with like little charms and stuff. And I started doing those again. And I think it was an attempt for me to plug something else in there that gives me that enjoyment where I lose a sense of time where it's helping, you know. And I think that concept of looking for flow activities or things that give you that has been helpful for me. I'm still making my way through it, but it's another interesting intersection with previous topics, huh, Miss Jen?
Oh, certainly. And a big part of that, completing the stress cycle, is creativity and finding that. So I think that's a beautiful example. Jen, I know that you have mentioned a few different patients that you've worked with or clients that you've worked with and what they've gotten out of it. I'm wondering, and this, I'm sorry if this is a curveball, I tend to do this, but I'm wondering if you can share with our listeners what you've gotten from this work, because I'm sure there's a lot that you've gained from this personally.
Yes. So thanks for that curveball. And Jenny, you know me that I can cry easily. So
yeah.
I'll work on not crying.
It's okay.
I think it's really impacting my life immensely. It's definitely impacting how I show up in my work with maybe a little more confidence, and because I am seeing how it lands for people and how it's impacting them. And so it's like, yeah, but this is a good wavelength. I want to stay on this path. And so building confidence in what I'm doing in the world. And I think, you know, that comes out in how I present myself to groups that I might not feel normally comfortable going in front of, projecting that they might think what I'm offering is silly. So definitely building my own sense of confidence and ability to speak in groups that are outside of my norm. And I also think with feeling more grounded in my body and less stressed, giving myself permission to slow down. I can be a take action type person. Definitely, you know, maybe like work myself a little bit too hard. Definitely did that over the pandemic when things became virtual and I could teach classes back to back online, and realized, yeah, this isn't working for me. I'm burned out. And so this work has really impacted my life in it's okay to slow down. And not that I do that perfectly, because I do notice on days where I tend to have time off on days when everybody else is working. And so with people working from home, there can be some feelings of like, oh, I'm not being productive. I'm just, you know, chilled. And now it's like, no, I need this time to rest and take care of myself, get outside if I can, or read a good book. So relaxation, and then I would say also being able to handle stress that was, you know, has been pretty, would be considered a high level of stress in family situations and being able to stay grounded through that and take care of myself through that as well and not get overwhelmed or over emotional that could have added to the situation. So I think it's showing up in a lot of different ways and being able to sit here and talk to you all.
Well, I love that. I love the permission structure, you know, just that ability to give yourself what you need in any given situation. Well, I've worked with you since the start of the pandemic, or no, before the pandemic even. Yeah. And the work that we've done together is, of course, amazing. And it's been life-changing for me as well. And so it makes sense that it's doing all this for you because it's done a lot of the same things for me. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I talk to Toni about you all the time. So she like lives vicariously.
Yes. Yes. And I definitely have the challenge where I am prone to over-familiarizing, you know, in general, but then when I get to know someone through someone, I'm like, oh, we've been best friends for how long now? You know, one of those things, but I'm noticing that so many of the things you listed that you've gotten from this being in this role and having this amazing opportunity, Jen, I think each one of those is worth $1 million, right? I mean, they're invaluable. And I'm wondering if you have like a quick little story of one of your clients that, you know, you just know like, oh my gosh, that the benefits, whether they're similar or distinct from the list you just gave, you know, that sticks in your mind. Like when you think of, because I know for me, when I think of the work I do and why I do it, certain faces pop up, right? They're just mm-hmm. right there. Of one of those faces that pops up for you, what would you say they have benefited, you know, from most from working with you?
So one particular client is coming to mind. She is a client that I work with, she had a neurological center. And she also had cancer some years back and had severe neuropathy in her feet. And I advised her to rub a washcloth on the soles of her feet, the top of her feet, to wiggle her toes around, separate her toes with her fingers. And I encouraged her to try and do that twice a day for just a few minutes, you know, maybe in the morning or in the evening before sleep. And she has regained so much feeling in her feet.
That's amazing. How long has she done that for, Jen?
Probably about 3 months now, if that, maybe 2 months.
Wow.
But I love seeing, she's just beaming and she's like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. I can feel my feet. And the interesting thing is if you know someone, like, you know, we typically think elderly because elderly people we can lose feeling in our feet naturally from wearing shoes. And so when you lose feeling in your feet, then your hip flexors get tight to protect you and keep you from falling over. So it's a survival thing. It's a good thing. But when you bring feeling back into your feet, your gait can improve, which, you know, impacts a lot. So that's been really fun to see and hear from her how that's impacting her.
Love that so much. And just going back again to some of the things you mentioned earlier, being grounded and having the ability for your feet to be that conduit or that beginning spot, even if you're in a chair, you know, to have your mm-hmm. feet touching the ground. So the fact that this person has more feeling, sensation, whatever, it just feels like, you know, that is, you know, again, one of those great, amazing things that we maybe take for granted that you can make a big difference with something as simple as a couple times a day for a few minutes. I mean, it again, small investment with these potential really incredible dividends. So it's very powerful. Thank you for that example.
Yeah.
So Jen, do you have maybe just a couple more? Because I know we've talked a long time. I can't believe we've talked this long, but a couple more tools or strategies, exercises that you want to take us through that are simple?
Yes, let's do something for the eyes. All right, so sitting comfortably again, and I would recommend maybe sitting, or if you have access to a window, you can set yourself up near a window or set yourself up where you have something that's in front of you that you can see as well. And just look, turn your head side to side and notice how your neck feels. And notice the furthest point that you see. And then we'll extend our thumb. You can choose which hand, or you could hold on to a pencil or a pen as well. But extend your arm in front of you and gaze at your thumb or your object. And just having your thumb at eye level, head neutral. And let's take a breath in through the nose. And exhale through pursed lips like you're blowing out through a straw. And then you can keep your thumb there, but look beyond your thumb. Just noticing what you're seeing. So if you're looking out your window, maybe you see some nature or a building. And then once again, look at your thumb. And we'll take a breath in through the nose and breathe out through pursed lips. And then once again, look beyond your thumb. And then look at your thumb. And then go ahead and release your hand down and turn your head side to side and notice if your neck relaxed at all, or if you can see a little further. And so if you felt like your neck relaxed, even if it relaxed on one side but not the other, you might do your other thumb. And if you felt like it relaxed a bit, then that means that's a good practice for you to do. If it didn't relax, then, you know, you'll want to learn other practices so that you can do a practice that helps you. If you feel like your neck contracted more, one thing you might try is just rub your hands together, feeling that sensation. Maybe you notice a sound as you're doing that, and just cup your hands over your eyes. This is a nice way to relax the eyes, maybe after you close your computer before you get into your car to go home, or if you're working from home before you leave your workspace. And then go ahead and release your hands down and notice how you feel. And we kind of layered two practices there. So layered the practice with the eyes with the pursed lip breath. So you don't always have to do those together, but just know that stacking things can be helpful for relaxation. Did either of you notice if your neck relaxed?
Yeah, I did.
100%. Yeah. Great. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. Again, you know, they're just so simple, but effective.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Very effective.
I love it.
Me too.
First of all, I'm amazed because I know one of the things we talked about was having you, Jen, do some videos for us to upload, and maybe we still will, but I will say that those four things that we did were so powerful. They're evergreen, that, you know, could just live on in this pod for our listeners as a baseline of exposure to very doable, practical, as you said, small things. And I feel like that is almost like a sampler platter for people to know what's out there. Cause I know this is very much just the top, you know, top layer of the incredible practice that, you know, this all is, what Urban Zen does, what you do. And I'm just really grateful for it. So I guess I'm just sort of processing that in real time, because I know we were thinking, well, how will we do this? And part of me is like, I don't know if we need to, because that was so great. But I also want more. So I have to, you know, deal with that. But we know that you know a lot about our pod. Thank you for being such an important part of our community, our podcast community. But we already talked about music before we even pressed record, because you're so facile with how we do things. But Jenny, I would love to do the signature questions with Miss Jen. What do you think?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Oh, okay.
I do. I don't know. I just want to quickly give you the floor, Jen, if there's anything else that you want to make sure that we get in here. I will put, of course, your, you know, Instagram handle and where you're mm-hmm. teaching and all that in the show notes, but mm-hmm. anything that you want to share with our listeners before we head into your path?
I don't think so. I think I feel complete. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Wonderful. Then let's jump in. So, you know, of course, we already said we're positive approaches to health. You know where you are. But part of that is sharing your personal positive approach to health, something you do for self-care daily or weekly that you want to share with our listeners.
Sure. I drink hot water with lemon, and I've been adding mint over the summer every day. And I do that first thing when I get up. So it's an Ayurvedic practice that can be good for digestion. And even if it means I have to get up early to make the hot water, I do that every day.
And it's hydrating. I mean, it's just a lovely, and I'm sure it's also very much like ritualistic for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Love it. And couldn't be more simple and practical. And if anyone listening, I'm sure I know for myself, just after sitting here talking with you for 45 minutes or however long, in my mind's eye, I saw like a little mug and I saw the steam and I almost could smell the lemon as I'm squeezing it and the little surprise of the mint. So it's, again, it's those little things that are so essential. And I love that you just kind of dropped that one, like, ping, there it goes.
Very fitting, right?
I love it. Well, you know, the other signature question that we already tapped into a little bit before we hit record, Jen, is this is our road trip. And I know better than probably most, if not any guests we've had, what this is for Jenny and for me as far as this incredible road trip we've been on and the people we've met and just how incredibly rich it's been. But music plays a role on all road trips in our opinion. And we are curious what kind of music would be on your road trip playlist or mixtape.
I typically listen to podcasts. So.
Love it.
I'll be honest there. Music, I guess artist-wise, I'm enjoying Trevor Hall lately. Mm-hmm. Sort of that indie type music.
I love him. Mm-hmm. He's on at least once. Okay, let me rephrase it. He's on at least once in every yoga playlist I make for my classes. Yeah. I just love his stuff.
That's cool.
So the song I'm enjoying by him right now is Open Doors.
Nice. Hold on. Hold that thought. Stay, girls. I'll be right back.
Tony cracks me up. I don't know if I've listened to that one, so I just wrote it down. I'm going to try to find it on Spotify.
It's really good. I'll send it to you.
Nice. What do you have?
I'm just cracking up. I'm cracking up because I was worried about my son doing the lawns and making noise. And then I had my cat lose his mind to get her mind to get in here. And other stuff's been going on this whole time. I'm just laughing. And then I make all this noise to go out to the hallway where I keep in this little niche. And I'm sure you've seen it, Jenny, when you visited. We have an old house that has those funny little like inserts, you know, wherever a phone used to be in the old days. But this is one of my all-time favorite photos, and I used to bring this into my classes in person, and I ended up framing it because I love it so much. And it's, for the listeners, it's the image of an old door, and I'll show the two Jens here this image in a second, a really old wooden door with a glass aperture, you know, the top of the door. And in it, it says, "Old ways won't open new doors." I don't know if you can see that, girls. Mm-hmm. And I have it in this frame right here. And so this Open Doors favorite song of yours just, I think, brings this such into a beautiful full circle, because I guarantee you that most, if not, you know, the vast majority of our listeners listening to this today, and this is coming on the heels of a 1-2 punch, where we're talking about nervous system regulation, you know, all this beautiful stuff. You've planted some incredible seeds for folks. And that's all Jenny and I ever wanted to do with this pod, was just plant little sprinkles of seeds around that this is possible to do things that were positive. Now, as dietitians, we had this image of what that would involve. And I will be honest, not in a million years did I think I'd be having a conversation like this in the context of this podcast that I know will help whoever wants to invest in it. But personally, I feel like I am going to get so much out of this conversation with you. So I just want to thank you. I'm getting a little emotional, but I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart.
I am too. Oh my gosh.
Thank you. Thank you. And I want to write that message down, because that's really hitting me as well. So that's perfect.
Jen, thank you. Thank you so much. I mean, this just fills my heart that we were able to have you on and to see you and work with you in this way. Mm-hmm. It's the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you both so very much for inviting me to be here and share, and yeah, thank you.
Yeah. You have so many gifts.
Yes, you do. And it's so crazy. I'd be remiss to not say this, but the fact that you have been floating in our orbit in so many unique ways, as really singular in this way, that you're a friend of Jenny's, a co-practitioner of Jenny's. And you've been so involved in our pod through, you know, Instagram. You've won prizes, you know, you're just engaged and comments, and, you know, just really been an integral part. I say this to people and I mean it. We mean it at the end of the pod when we're saying goodbye, that you are part of the Path Pod family now. But for you, we get to say you have been a major part of our Path Pod family. And now it's just leveled up to, I think, a new level, huh, Jenny?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Very special. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you both so very much.
Yeah, thank you. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your Friday, Jen. Mwah. Thank yes. you again.
Love you.
All right. Love you.
You guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, Tony, that was fun. And of course, as is most of the time, we could have talked a lot longer, but it was just such a great conversation. And, you know, I'm glad we got kind of down to the basics with her about nervous system regulation and why it's, you know, just so beneficial. And her practices that she took us through, course, are amazing. so simple, but yet so effective. What was your takeaway, Tony?
Yeah, I mean, truth be told, when did we do this? A couple weeks ago? 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, something like that.
I feel like it was yesterday because the impact it's had on me emotionally, mentally, physically, it persists. So it's showing up in interesting ways, whether it's, you know, as I'm editing, sort of hearing her voice, as I am thinking through some of the exercises and little activities she had us do. I mean, up until just last night, I was trying to fall asleep and I was really struggling. I had some things on my mind and I just started doing sort of the arm rub thing that we did, you know, with the hands and all the way down and the fingers and just rubbing and feeling the warmth and trying to connect and calm down my nerves. And I feel like the excess ability of everything that she talked about, you know, some people could think this is way beyond what is something they could do and incorporate into their lives, where she just has this ability to say, bring it in.
Yeah.
So it's not very articulate, but I think what's happened is that she's in, you know what I mean? She's part of my toolkit already. And that doesn't happen all the time where it's so immediate.
Yeah, she has that effect. And let me tell you, if you ever get a chance, if you ever come here and get a chance to take one of her classes, I took her class not too long ago, and she's also a Reiki master. I don't think she mentioned that in her bio. And she does, you know, hands-on assist during her classes. And this was in Shavasana. I was laying there with my palms up, and she did something, I don't know if it's with my feet or my shoulders or something. And all of a sudden I felt this is going to sound crazy and you might want to cut this out, but these rays of like powerful energy or light coming out of the palms of my hands. And I mean, it wasn't anything I thought about it. I mean, it just like happened. And I was like, what the hell is going on? I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And like the whole time that she was, you know, giving me her hands-on treatment, hands-on assist, I felt that. And then she let go and they were still there and they stayed there for a while. And finally it was done. But I mean, it's powerful. That sounds so like kooky and nutty crunchy, but man, like I don't know what it was, but it's powerful.
Well, I mean, truth be told, as you explain that, it's kind of like what I was saying, but in a different context. You know what I mean? There was this, I was not in the room with her. We were on Zoom when we recorded, but it has stayed with me almost like that feeling. So I think, and I'm sure our listeners will feel the same. And this is likely an episode that people will listen to multiple times because of the activities within it and, you know, being able to sort of let it wash over you. But I think that's a great story, Jenny, because it speaks again to connection in a unique way.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. She's powerful.
Yes.
She packs a mighty punch, although she be small, she be mighty.
You know, so cute. Well, it's funny because I think, I don't know if you noticed, I think you did, that little screenshot I sent this morning to you about the Japanese term. I think it's kintsugi, actually. I don't know the exact pronunciation, but it was on the CBS Monday morning or Sunday morning show this morning, and I couldn't handle it. It was so appropriate because basically, you know, it's this practice of taking things that are broken and bringing them and celebrating them and having them be a part of what we celebrate in our life. And the kintsugi, or I'm not pronouncing it, someone's going to get me on this, but the kintsugi, it's a whole movement now in Japan where they take these broken pieces of porcelain or cups or different things, and they ceramics, and they put them into new things, or they'll make furniture or artwork that's in this style. Or I saw an example of like a Star Wars helmet that had it, you know, in, I mean, it shows up everywhere, but I was blown away by the fact that it came today into my world. And I was doing all this research and listening to songs that had to do with it and all kinds of stuff, because I feel like when I picture Jen, especially working with some of the folks with like spinal cord injury or cancer, or, you know, you name it, that the real deep populations that she works with to help, you know, they say that through those cracks, the light shines in, right? Those are cracks of light. And I think that light comes through, and I'm like, wow, you know, not to diminish what people are going through, but on the grand scheme, she's working with people through those cracks, you know, creating light, creating skills and tools and hope. And then as humans, any of us, those cracks are where we grow and learn and, you know, the struggles and all of that. So I don't know, I'm not articulating it all that well, but I think that it was perfect landing today. And there's a couple of songs on the playlist that have to do with this style, this terminology, this concept. So not
well,
to
you're going to die when you hear a couple of my songs.
Oh, okay, good. Well, yeah, do you want to move into the songs, Ms. J? Because I just went there. Okay,
we can.
You start.
We can, yeah. It's, yeah, she is a light, and the work she does is that. And so I have two about the light. One is by the Wallflowers. Mm-hmm. So that takes me back to the 90s, right? Mm-hmm. One Headlight.
Mm-hmm.
you know, just that shining that she does. Yeah. And the other is by Jake Bugg, who I just love. Lightning Bolt. Mm-hmm. Because I also think that's kind of the work that Jen does. And she herself, she's like a little lightning bolt. I mean, she just, yeah. So those are my two that have to do with the light. And I just, yeah, that word and that whole thing you sent me, Tony, is just amazing. And I have to share one more thing with the group. Is it says this 15th century practice means to join with gold.
Mm-hmm.
And that, yeah, I mean, that just makes me think of Jen. So my other three songs, real quick, one is by the Bleachers, one of my favorite groups, I Want to Get Better. And so, you know, people, I mean, she does magic, but she can't make people want to do that. I mean, people have to want to do that. And a really good example of this is I've had her work with my dad, and he's an obstinate little booger, and I don't know if he wants to get better. Anyway, that's a whole other thing, but yeah. So that song came up. And my last two, one is by the Head and the Heart, Lost in My Mind, because again, I think we tend to think that so much of this is up in our heads when it's in our bodies. Mm. And both Kelly and Jen have reminded us of that. And then the last one is my little nod to Sinead O'Connor. And it is her song that it's not one that I have played over and over like some of hers, but the title of it is This Is to Mother You. And I do think that these practices allow us to mother ourselves, and they're so incredibly important and invaluable in that way. So
you're gonna make me cry, sister.
I know. Well, I'm kind of crying seeing it, because oh my god, we lost such an incredible artist in Sinead as well. It's crazy.
Well, it also makes me think of your mother.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
Yeah. It made me think of that too.
Yeah. Anyway, beautiful. Very beautiful. This is why I love when you bring the music, Miss J, because in five songs you have packed what I have in 3 hours worth.
Oh, stop it.
Well, mine's all over the map, of course, because it's me. But I mentioned at the top, well, before we even go to the versions reference I made at the top, this conversation with Jen started before we hit record. I had shared that I was a little bit, kind of not buzzed, but I had a little something going on because I had had two rum balls over at my mom's house.
I forgot about that.
So I was like, oh my God, I felt a little, she makes them, they're no joke. And I don't know, it was the afternoon and I just had two and then I was loose, right? So what I mentioned, I think, was about how that made me think of one of my favorite Broadway guys, Norbert Leo Butz. Great name, by the way. Absolute institution on Broadway. He's amazing. But he sang, he was in My Fair Lady, a production we saw years ago. And he plays this kind of rough and tumble British guy, London type guy, and he's really rough around the edges and he's about to get married. And the song's called Get Me to the Church on Time. And it is silly as hell. But in it, in my head, I always remembered it said that this one line that said, ding dong, the bells are gonna chime. And I always thought it said, kick up the rum balls, right? Don't lose the crumbles. And it says, the real words are. Are ding dong, the bells are gonna chime, kick up a rumpus, but don't lose the compass, right? So I was so far from the whole thing, but it doesn't matter because I love that song and I thought they were rumballs. So that started this whole like playlist because then from there,
that is great.
I just kind of went off on a full tangent, like all over the map, but starts off with Get Me to the Church on Time. That had to be there. I know. I know, it's terrible. But then I also have a ton of randos. I'm going to not get into all of them, but there's a ton of randos. But I ended up pulling on a couple threads. One is 38 Special, Hold On Loosely.
Mm.
I don't know. I just feel like those three words together land well.
Yes. Yes.
So that's 38 Special. Take It Easy, The Eagles. Free Fallin', Tom Petty, you know, these just were all kind of in a little swirl of things that made me feel a certain way when talking to Jen. More Than a Feeling by Boston. Give a Little Bit.
You're bringing back
all my
stuff from high school. Yeah.
Well, that's it, Jenny. I mean, these are like truly randos, right? Give a Little Bit from Supertramp, Handle with Care, Traveling Wilburys. More Than a Feeling, I think I said. And then finally, And She Was, Talking Heads. Like that clump.
Oh, yeah.
Just kind of came in a weird way on a run. And I was like, why are these all showing up like this? But I think it was the myriad emotions, feelings, sentiments that I had listening, being with her in conversation, and then like editing and percolating. Yeah. I did put a couple songs on there from her Trevor Hall suggestion. I know he's a guy for you too.
Yeah, love him.
One is the one she mentioned, Open Doors, because of the little image we talked about. The other one is You Can't Rush Your Healing.
So good. Such a good song.
And then Jenny, I don't know if you're going to handle this one well or not, but the final one from him, and it is right in the heels of the big fire on Maui. And it's O Haleakala, because Haleakala, my whole family, we just spent some time on Haleakala about 2 years ago. It was one of the best days of my life on that volcano just above the big fire that happened this week or last week. Anyway, there was this like incredible connection to that song from a performer I'd never heard before. And because of you two, I found that, and the timing just really hit me hard, because talk about healing and rebuilding. Ugh.
Yeah.
There's several other healing songs on here, but I'll let those stand on their own when the playlist comes out. One Republic Connection. Time After Time, my friend Cindy Lauper. Exhale by our friend Whitney. I miss you, Whitney. And then Shine is a song from the Billy Elliot Broadway show that is so powerful, and it really hits me thinking of how Jen shines. Don't Lose My Number by Phil Collins, because I feel like, you know how you have that phone number you never want to let go of because, you know, in case of emergency, you can call? I feel like these tools are that type of thing.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
And then real quick, there's some Kintsugi songs on there, as I mentioned, or if I'm pronouncing that right, but the versions, I want to end with the versions thing and explain that a little bit. So on this playlist, there are going to be several songs that are sung by different performers, okay? And the songs themselves are not the most important, you know, as far as which songs they are, but I'll give you a sense. One of them is It's All Coming Back to Me Now. You remember, by Celine Dion?
Yeah.
And there are other versions of that by different performers on here. I Know You're Out There Somewhere, also a couple of versions on here. Emotion by the Bee Gees, Emotions by Destiny's Child. So you get the idea. I picked a few. And the reason why I felt that was important was because I feel like not only in life are we different versions, right? We grow, we crumble, we rebuild, we suffer, we celebrate, you know, as we go through life, there are so many versions. You hear the, you know, Tony 2.0 or, you know, whatever people want to say. But I feel like the work that Jen does is so much about, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but so much about looking at the version you are right now, what condition you're in, and working with that to either thrive as that or evolve toward a new version if you need that, right? So, like, you know, wherever you are and wherever you want to be, making space for that version. And the specificity of her work with special populations is what kind of brought me into that version space with that term and that concept. And I guess it just feels very special, Jenny, and it makes me feel like, not permission is not the right word. There's something I want to say about that that is hitting me that I don't have the right word for, but it's like allowing, or
allowing.
Or is that it? Something.
It's allowing.
Okay.
And it's making space for, yeah, that however you're showing up is okay. And is. And it's not that you have to change. You're fine and okay just as you are. Yeah, she does have that power to make one feel that way.
Right. And the other word, Jenny,
I think that's where you're going. I don't know.
I think so. I don't know. I guess the other term that just popped in, excuse me before I forget it, is deserve. I guess that's the other word that's in there too, because, you know, I think certain populations get swept or pushed to the side, or we think there's no hope, or not why bother, not at all. But, you know, it's almost like, we've used that term learned helplessness a lot. You know, we as caregivers may play into that, but something about her going in there and bringing such beauty and such grace and helping people help themselves. I don't know. There's something very like, I see you and you deserve this kind of thing. And I am not doing it justice though.
No, you are. I think you're spot on. I think it makes a lot of sense. And yeah, what you just said right there is, I see you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's good at that. That's a gift of hers.
Yeah, 100%. I feel so lucky, Jenny. Thank you so much for being her here. I feel like, you know, talk about a gem in our little path crown for sure, this lady.
Well, it's like what you sent me this morning. We joined with gold.
Is that going to be the title of this one?
Maybe.
Oh, I love it. Love it.
Yeah, I like it.
Anything else, Miss J, before we sign off for the day?
Well, as always, we so appreciate you being here on this path, on this journey with us. We hope that
you get something out of listening to these conversations and these guests that we have. And yeah, rate, review, subscribe, and forward, share, like send it to someone that you feel like could really benefit from it, because that's why we do this. I mean, it's to help people. Yes. So,
and that's the gold for us, when we know that people are enjoying, appreciating, getting something from it. That's the gold, because this is not about anything other than that. And it's probably why it's been so precious to us.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Miss Girl. You. Thank you. Thank you so much. Love you lots.
Love you too.
Just in case my intro music wasn't annoying enough, here comes some outro music to send you off. Ready? Chicky chicky boom boom, chicky chicky boom boom. Oh my god, I have to figure out how to get that music back. Sorry guys, thank you for having a sense of humor. Chicky chicky boom boom.